It's time for the Turfgrass Zealot Audiocast. From the Worldwide Command Center of Intergalactic Turfheads, it's the Turfgrass Zealot Audiocast. Only on Turfnet Radio. With a Chief Turfhead, the Guru of Fescue, the Alatollah of Iron, Mr. Dave Wilbur. There's only one Zealot, only on Turfnet Radio.
Hello, Turf Heads. Hey, Turf Monkeys. How's it going, Spectacular Turfies? It's me, it's Dave Wilbur, and you are listening to episode number 24 of the Turfgrass Zealot Project. Welcome. I'm Dave Wilbur, and I'm your host. I'm your curator. I'm the guru of Fescue. I'm your Ayatollah of Iron, and I'm glad you're listening today. I got something special planned for this episode. It's something a little different. Bit of a freeform TZP episode. Gonna pull the starter rope a little bit and hit it with all kinds of stuff. Just gonna go out and do all the weed eating. And you know, because it's June, all kinds of stuff is going on. All kinds of stuff going on everywhere. I mean, I watch everybody's Twitter feeds and you name it, right? Warm season, cool season, it doesn't matter. Everybody's got stuff going on. Everybody's busy. Everybody's full of zeal. And it's just go time. Go time. Lots of tines in the ground, lots of staff development, lots of mowing, and yeah, maybe starting into some long days as we come into summer solstice. A while back, in fact, last year, I wrote a blog post that was pretty much on the fly because I was in the same mode. It was, one of those things where, you know, I was, quite frankly, Peter McCormick was after me. He's like, Dave, I got to have something from you. I got to get something up. And I'm like, oh, but I had been prompted by a phone call from somebody. And so I had something on my mind. Somebody called me with a really good question. And so between golf course visits, I literally sat in the truck. I got my iPhone out and I wrote a blog post. And that's not that big a deal. I mean, technology works. But I wanted to get it out of my head and I just wanted to get it up for consumption. And when I was writing it, I had no idea that it would turn out to be one of the most popular things that I'd ever written. One of the most shared posts ever. It ran around the horn in all kinds of different places all over the world, actually. One of the most quoted things that I've ever written. An award-winning thing, in fact. Kevin, my buddy Kevin Ross, uses it as a training tool, and he used it as he gave some awards as part of his thing that he does for TurfNet. And he used that, you know, for that. So it's kind of crazy. It reminds me of like a long time ago, I did a desired value chart for soil tests and suddenly I found it hanging in office walls all over the place. And it was in places where even people who weren't my clients, like I literally walked into somebody's office and said, oh, I did that. And they're like, really? That's like really cool. the guy had never met me, you know? So pretty awesome. So that blog post was kind of like that, you know, it was one of those things that it kind of went everywhere. And I don't know, is there such a thing as viral in our small media business? Maybe. I'll put the link in the description, but I'd like to share it here. I just thought it might be something that'd be fun to put in the podcast format because, well, part of it is this time of year, reading time is a little bit short. And so why not, right? So let me give it to you. Here's 10 things to remember on being an excellent assistant or intern. And so, yeah, man, I'm talking to you young turfies right now. And I'm hoping that the older turfies will share this with their staff members. I'm going to go through this here with the idea that I'm speaking to the young people, but you know, it's not a bad training tool any way you look at it. It's kind of got 360 degree motion, to use corporate speak. Oh my God. Listen to this. So here it is. Again, this was prompted by a phone call from a young turf head and he wanted my take on succeeding. You know, it was like a great conversation and he was like, how do I succeed at this? I really want to do well. I've got my first big break and I want to do great. But he didn't want me to out him, you know, because he was afraid that, you know, he'd get made fun of or heck, I don't know. Kind of funny in our business sometimes how people decide what will be used and not used. How about that? We'll say it that way. All right, so here it is. 10 things to remember on being an excellent assistant or intern. Here's thing number one, show up early. Number one, show up early. You're the new kid, and for sure, no one is going to wait for you. This is a business of getting up with a 3 or a 4 still on the alarm clock. That's it. That's how it works. If you think it's going to be different, you think you're going to stay up and party all night, and then, you know, show, it's not going to be that way. So rolling in five minutes before start time is not going to cut it. It's not going to cut it with anybody. You don't have a key yet? Fine. Wait at the gate. Wait at the door. Late is inexcusable. No show? Yeah, you might as well just slit your wrist. That's number one. Show up early. All right. On being an excellent assistant or intern. Number two, if you're not moving quickly, you're doing it wrong. If anyone around you is moving quicker than you, you are in big trouble. Efficient purpose is key. If you see the superintendent rocking and rolling with his hair on fire, you better be moving quicker than him or her. Let the staff see you being busy. They will imitate that eventually. If you're rolling slow, the whole place is going to roll slow. And the worst thing is, if the super is rolling fast and you're rolling slow, well, that is sticking out, my friend, in a bad kind of way. So thing number two, if you're not moving quickly, you are doing it wrong. Number three, bring all the right gear. This was one of my pet peeves when I was a super. Look, you got to show up prepared. You never know. We work outside. It's rain. It's all that kind of stuff. And you just don't know what's going to happen. Yeah. So you bring your raincoat and you bring extra shoes, maybe even an extra shirt. You bring some layers. You bring gloves. You bring your headlamp. Right? Because you're going to be out there early. Maybe you bring some protein bars or protein powder or something like that so you can get some calories on board if you miss a meal or if you're just one of those people that burns it hard. You know, that's fine. Bring your cell phone charger. Bring that stuff. Have that stuff with you. Get used to keeping a go bag with you all the time. I had a wooden box in my truck that was like the overstock locker. It had all my stuff in it. That's what you do. Because Murphy's Law is real and you just don't know what's going to happen, right? And you never know. I mean, you know, you probably want a decent pair of shoes and a decent golf shirt hanging out. I don't know. I used to keep my clubs in the truck. You just don't know what's coming, right? So bring all the right gear, and all the right gear for this job can mean a lot of stuff. Be organized. The idea of a go bag, it's a pretty good thing. All right, thing number four of these 10 things to remember. Make stuff happen. Make it happen. Can't stress this enough. Your superintendent doesn't want to hear that it can't be done. Why? Because he or she are where they are because they did the impossible. Find a way. Seek solutions. Be a problem solver. Make stuff happen. And I'm telling you, nothing will turn your boss's head quicker than somebody who can figure it out. Now, let's draw the line a little bit, because there are those times when maybe you push a little too far, a little too hard. It's not bad to check in. It's not bad to just run it by somebody, but do that. Okay. Important. All right. Thing number five, your job is turfgrass management. Hey, let's remember that. Okay. You aren't at work to chat up the drink cart chick. You're not there to set up the fantasy baseball leagues. Taking selfies. Look, you may see the boss doing some of that stuff or whatever, but that's their PR kind of thing. Having long discussions about the deadliest catch episode with the equipment manager. No. No, no, no. Those things are not your job. You cannot do it that way. Your job is turfgrass management. Your job is being part of the crew. Your job is being part of the scene, and the scene is growing grass. Focus. Be about the business, yo. I wrote that. Being about the business, yo. But seriously, so many times there's so many distractions, and you've got to rein yourself in. Okay, 10 things to remember on being an excellent assistant or intern. Let's go with number 6, shall we? Here it is. Again, big pet peeve of mine. Always have a notepad or a pen handy. Always have something to write some instructions down with, jot down some details, something you hear on the radio, something you gotta have some note-taking skills. Now, it's the digital age, okay? And I happen to have the worst doctor's handwriting. I mean, my handwriting's atrocious, right? So, anyway, I use my smartphone. I use the notes application on my smartphone for just about everything. I use Evernote and I make notes, but that's the point. Like, you know, substitute your smartphone here. Everybody has a different policy about smartphones on the golf course. So obviously you want to be part of what's going on there. But, what I'm saying is be able to take notes and make sure you have a way to write down things or directions or rates or schedule things or, you know, hey, tomorrow, let's not forget. You're going to hear that stuff all day long. And guess what? You cannot miss those things. You cannot forget. Forgetting, bad. All right, thing number 7. Don't wait to be told. Find things to do and do them. Some things are just obvious. I mean, some things just need to be fixed or cleaned up. Or at the very minimum, ask about fixing or cleaning them up. Find something. If you have to be told, we always need to do this, we always need to do that, more than twice, then you're going to get a big black mark. And if you keep it up, you're going to get the nice pink slip. Find things to be doing. Don't wait to be told. Some things are automatic. Here's an example. There's always something that needs to be done around the shop. There's always some cleanup, a piece of gear, something that needs to be hung up better, something that needs to be cleaned. Again, you're leading by example here. If you start doing it, your staff will start doing it. Watch. It happens. It happens. All right, thing number 8 on being excellent as an assistant or an intern. Hey, let's remember it's not about you. Now, I don't care what they told you at turf school. It doesn't matter, you know, what you think. It's not about you. You have to pay some dues. You have to be. Here's some things that I've seen that make me shake my head about the it's not about you thing. I remember a young second assistant who was always first in the lunch line before the crew. Really? No. Lead from the back. That one actually caught him a lot of grief from everybody. He could never understand why everybody didn't like him, but he was always the first guy. Now, not everybody does lunch, you know, at the shop. I get that. That's one example. But how about this? Don't take the choice parking spot just because you get there first in the morning. Park a little ways away. Let everybody else have a chance to park closer. You know, how about you give up your seat at the crowded meeting in the boss's office? Yeah? Something like that? How about you figure out a way to find the extra chair if somebody else shows up, or those kinds of things, right? It's not about you. You're a servant here, okay? Yep, you're a genius and you should be running the show. Of course, you know that in your head. You can go home every night and you can say that to yourself. But acting like that around the shop, around the thing, saying, oh man, I am the greatest. And being that way, it's just turf head quicksand. And one day you will be the Monkey King. But today is not that day. Pay your damn dues. It's not going to hurt you. It's not going to hurt you at all to learn how to be a servant. And guess what? That will show miles and miles towards you being a servant leader later on. Okay, 10 things to remember. Let's keep it up. Number 9. Everyone you encounter outside the department is Mr., Mrs., or Sir, or Ma'am. Period. Unless they specifically go out of their way to tell you that stuff. And even let me tell you something, with members or your customers, golfers, whatever, please just call me Mr. Jones or call me Jack, right? And say, okay, Mr. Jones. I mean, you gotta maintain that, okay? And this is, you know, we live in that day where like Mr., Mrs., thanks, please, all those sorts of things, they've kind of gone by the wayside. But you know what? Members, golfers, customers, you know, department people, they need your respect. You need to show them that respect. It goes a long way. So please and thank you, always at the tip of your tongue. Represent your department. Represent the professionalism. You know, everybody talks about professionalism. You don't always get to look professional. You're going to get muddy. You're going to get dirty. You're going to have spray dye on your hands, you know, things like that. But you can make a huge difference with a sir, a ma'am, a please, or thank you. And do it with class. Learn their names. Learn to use their names. Recognize people. I had a guy who was, probably one of the greatest clubhouse guys I've ever seen tell me one time that... But the third time he interacts with somebody, he wants to know their name for sure, if not what they drink and everything else. I mean, learn. It's not a bad thing. Show interest in people. If someone does you a favor, write them a thank you note by hand. Hey, somebody from the food and beverage operation does something nice for you or takes care of one of the guys on their birthday or something. Jesus, write them a thank you note. It's so easy. Gee, thank you for helping me with my staff. Easy, right? Represent. Represent your professionalism. Mr., Mrs., sir, ma'am, please, thank you. Those things are huge. They count for a lot. All right, number 10 on being an excellent assistant or intern. Now, we talked about number one being the first one to get there. How about being the last one to leave? You know, don't make the superintendent be closing the overhead doors. Park the equipment. Help organize for the morning. Take out the trash, sweep, prep for tomorrow, whatever you've got to do. Maybe there's just something you want to make absolutely sure of. Maybe one of your section guys needs to remember that he's got to have, you know, let's use an example. You know, maybe you're using some wetting agent tabs for your hand watering, and you want to make sure the guy's got them there. You know, those kinds of things. I mean, that's your job, right? Find the thing you didn't have time to do earlier in the day and do it. Think forward to when you'll be running the show and think how much you'll appreciate someone like you who remembers the details. Our business is about the details. It is about sweating the small stuff. It is about making the little things count. Be the last one to leave. And don't make the superintendent be the one always carrying the ball. Now look, there's lots more. And in fact, if you read the comments, if you go to the blog post, there's some really cool stuff. I mean, Chris Tridoboff from Hazeltine National weighed in with a great one. He said, ask lots of questions, but ask productive questions. You need to know when to ask a question and when to figure it out for yourself. He says, how do you know? If the superintendent engages you in a conversation in regard to your question, it's a good question. If he or she gives the terse response of the one word variety, then you probably should have figured that one out for yourself. Oh man, Chris, that's gold. That's just gold. All right, 10 things on being an excellent assistant or an intern. I'm really stoked to be able to bring this to you. I'm not trying to recycle material. I think it really counts for this time. And so when I come back, we're going to do a little bit more. We're going to have a little bit more freeform Turf Grass Zealot Project. This is the Turf Grass Zealot Project. I'm Dave Wilbur. Hang with me. We'll be back in just a second.
The Turf Grass Zealot Project is presented by Clingstone, the original patented liquid-applied bunker barrier. Clingstone has been stopping sand contamination, eliminating erosion, and stabilizing bunker faces for over 15 years. Nobody else can say that. For more information, visit clingstone.com.
The views, opinions, and general insanity expressed during this podcast are those of Dave Wilbur and his guests. Do not try this at home.
Well, hey, Turf Heads, it's me, Dave Wilbur, and I'm back, and we're going to do just a few more things and a little shorter episode than I usually do, but I think this will be good. You know, we always can't have everything be an hour and a half of craziness, and I did a great Twitter question, and I asked people, you know, do I always need to have a guest, and a resounding number of people said either no or it doesn't matter, just bring it. So that's pretty cool. I like that whole idea of just bring it. So let's go over a few things, huh? Hey, the Turf Grass Zealot Project won an award. Can you believe it? Can you believe somebody was silly enough to give this thing an award? I shouldn't say it that way. You know who was silly enough to do that? This great group called the Turf and Ornamental Communicators Association. You know, it's like a media group, you know, made up of people from all the various turf and ornamental media spots. It's a kind of a business-to-business kind of thing. And I won an award. I won first place in the podcast, new media kind of section for podcasts. And look, I'm super proud, okay? I mean, I really am. I'm trying to be humble, but it's awesome. I know that TurfNet has done really well in the Toka Awards thing. And I mean, hats off to all my other TurfNet contributors. Frank Rossi won an award, Kevin Ross. I know in the past, Hector Velasquez has won. John Kiger has done a ton of cool stuff. I mean, really, I'm honored to be in such company. And I guess I never really figured, you know, like if you'd asked me 30 years ago if I would have won some award for ornamental turf and ornamental communication, I'd have thought no. So the particular episode that that got noticed was the episode that I did with Josh Lewis. I think it was like episode number 12. And it was Josh Lewis was my guest, and we talked about the U.S. Open. It was some time after the U.S. Open. Josh had taken his new job at Almaden Country Club. So we talked a lot about Almaden, and you know, we talked about his world, and we talked about some very personal stuff. It was really good. Really good episode. So if you haven't heard that and you don't know Josh, you know, and hats off to Josh. And by the way, Josh, thank you for doing, I had to resort to public shaming him to get him to do the episode. And I guess I'm glad that I did, you know, I'm glad that I did. Lots of comments about the episode that I did. I think it was episode number 22 with Jim Farron as my guest. Jim was a great guest, and a lot of people didn't know Jim, or maybe knew of him a little bit, but didn't really realize the depth of his experience in the golf business. A lot of people really loved him talking about working in San Diego in the early part of the business. A lot of people know Jim, you know, as a pretty good golfer. I mean, the guy can hit it. I've played a lot of golf with Jim, and I can tell you it's intimidating. You know, he just hits this big, long ball. The only time that didn't serve him was when we were playing together in Scotland in the wind. And then my knockdown 5-iron, well, it was a lot of fun to play against him. But anyway, Jim was a great guest, and my rant at the beginning of that podcast has earned a lot of attention. Most of it positive, a little bit of negative. I don't expect everybody to agree with everything I say. That's just fine. I got a little bit of pushback from the PhD community. A few people said, hey, you don't really get it. You know, you don't know how it all works. Okay, fine. Tell us how it works. I think everybody who decided to send me a note about that or whatever was quickly invited to be a guest on the podcast. And so far, none of them accepted. It's like, look, if you're going to have the courage of your convictions, have it all the way. I loved just turning on the microphone and cutting loose a little bit. And I appreciate you guys listening to that. It's a pretty good deal, you know. So, you know, I guess that kind of comes into the whole negative attention thing. And what does negative attention do? You know, in our business, we hear a lot about negative attention. I mean, you know, there's always that one golfer that comes up to you and he doesn't like the greens. And, you know, it can really crush your day, right? You're out on the golf course and you think things are pretty good. And the guy says, what about the, blah, 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 you know, or I saw the weeds grow. You know that golfer. You know him or her. And I don't know. You know, I think when you try to please everybody, things can go really wrong. And so staying your course as golf course superintendent, as a turf head, super important. And, you know, I think there are some parallels in life. I'm not a parent, but my friends who are parents tell me that parenting is the same way. It's like you got to stay the course no matter how much negative stuff you hear. I know for me, like being on the road for a lot of years, making agronomy visits, talking to people, I could have gone a different way. I could have gone a much more palatable way. And then I would have had to bite my tongue all the time. And I decided, you know, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to be a little bit more real. I may be a little more rough around the edges. You know, that's okay. I mean, it's just like I wanted my clients to have real discussions with me. I wanted to leave their golf facilities with them knowing that I wasn't political, that I took it as I saw it, and that we stayed in the moment. You know, that kind of thing. You know, how did that cost me? I don't know. Might have cost me here and there. It might have changed the way some of the alphabet associations looked at me, and I don't really care. When I was working more in the sales end of things, when I was, you know, doing the director of agronomy / technical rep sort of thing, again, I could have done some people pleasing there. I could have tried to please everyone. I maybe would have made more sales had I done that. I guess that would have equaled more money. I don't know. I didn't really look at things that way, but I suppose it would have. But I just realized that there were some people that needed, they needed different ways of looking at things and different brands of help and that sort of thing. So I did it differently. And I didn't try to please everybody. Sometimes my bosses were not so happy with me. Occasionally, when superintendents were relying too much on, you know, there's that whole service thing, you know, service me. And it's like, look, you got to plan better. And I would kind of say that. It's like, really? You know, you didn't know that eventually you had to fertilize? I mean, planning ahead really helps, you know. So occasionally I would sort of say to people, look, let's not do this. Let's not create the fire drill that has, you know, one of our company trucks on the road on a Saturday when that guy should be home with his family or something like that. You know, those kinds of things. Trying to please everybody. Pretty tough thing. So I don't know. I guess for me, negative attention, it doesn't really, doesn't affect me like it used to. Maybe part of that is getting older. I know when I was a younger turf head, it's like, oh, everything I hear, you know, it's like, oh, I got to deal with that. And you learn, well, no, I'm not going to die on that hill today. And it's really a lonely seat being a turf head, isn't it? I mean, it can be, you know, you kind of, it's kind of a lonely spot. You know, not everybody's going to like you all the time. The golf pro's not going to love you. The guys in the clubhouse, not always going to see it your way. And you may have to make some unpopular decisions sometimes. And those things come with, you know, when you make an unpopular decision at first and it turns out to be the right one, then, you know, that starts to add to your reputation. But every once in a while, we get it wrong. Everybody gets it wrong now and then. And then you say, well, you know, I got that one wrong. A lot of it is about guessing about the weather. You know, I had a superintendent talk to me the other day about his invitational. It's like, how'd your invitational go? And he said, you know, it was really good, but I had to make a guess about the weather and it turned out wrong. And, man, he said, I looked at my charts and graphs and I really thought I had it. And, you know, we decided to move a thing that was going to be outside inside because I was just sure that we were going to get hammered that day. And of course, we didn't get the thunderstorms that we were supposed to. And everybody was bummed at me, you know, because I was the one that had the unpopular news. Tough. Man, that's such tough stuff. You know, everybody's looking at you for event management stuff. I used to feel bad for all the meteorology guys and stuff around the tour and all those sorts of things for the same reason. I mean, everybody's waiting on you to make a decision and it's, goodness, it's the weather. You know, it could be everything bad. All right, so there's that. What else have I got on my list? Let's see, a couple of questions, a couple of good questions. One, hey, Dave, you don't seem to be very into the whole tournament golf thing. Okay, let me go on with the question. You don't seem to be very into the whole tournament golf thing. How come you don't talk about the tournaments and all that sort of stuff? Well, I do. I mean, we talked about, you know, I just got done talking about Josh Lewis, and a lot of our discussion had to do with the U.S. Open. It wasn't all of it because, you know, I think at a certain point, you distill it down to what the real important questions are. Now, there's some pretty cool stuff coming up this year. I mean, at a couple of my most favorite places, Oakmont is amazing. John Zimmer is amazing. And hats off to him and his staff and, you know, everything about the place. I mean, wow, you know. And I mean, it's a U.S. Open caliber kind of place. And John's a U.S. Open caliber kind of guy. And his techniques and his management style is not for everybody. But it's, he does what he does. He does it for a reason, and that reason is good. They've done some cool stuff to the golf course, you know, the tree removal things and all that sort of thing. It's awesome, right? Now, I don't care about talking about the USGA. I mean, they're going to, you know, they're going to take heat for course setup and whatever, because they do. It's just, they're an easy target. You know, that doesn't really matter. But hats off to John, you know. Same thing with Chris Tredebaugh. I mentioned Chris a little bit ago and the Ryder Cup coming up at Hazeltine. And you know that Chris has just got to be busy, busy. I mean, looking at just, you know, 120 days or so away from that event, and the clock is ticking. I mean, I do love tournament golf. You know, TurfNet sent some guys over and had a group that went over and hung out with the Irish Open with Jerry Byrne at the K Club. John Kiger was all into that, you know, and John, he's so funny. I don't think he's, you know, been behind the scenes like that very much. So for him, it's just all really cool. I think when you've done it a few dozen times, it gets a little different. But it was really fun to read all the stuff. And, you know, and if you haven't done and read all those blogs on TurfNet, do it. It's really, really cool stuff. Good reading. And that's been amazing. You know, so yes, I'm into tournament golf. I do think that it's a little sketchy sometimes, you know. I don't know. You know, it's just one event, and I hate it. I hate it when superintendents get thrown under the bus. You know what? I hate that. I hate when I hear people, you know, complaining about conditions that have nothing to do with really what the golf course superintendent does. You know, Frank Nobolo recently, you know, pouring water on a green, trying to make some point for television, which I don't even understand what that point was. I mean, you know, I don't even understand, you know, that kind of stuff. I mean, TV coverage, things like that can be really wacky. But I think tournament golf is great, you know, to a point. But I also think that in the lives of golf course superintendents, in the lives of the heart of our business, that, you know, what's more important than the ladies' invitational? What's more important than the member or the member guest? Not much. You know, when you're leading the band at your particular place and that's the big event of the year, that's a pretty big deal. Now, yeah, I mean, is you know, as facilities go up in stature or whatever, and it's one of those places that always has stuff going on, and there's a US Open qualifier here, and there's, you know, and they're in line for the, you know, for junior amateur stuff and all those sort of things, and there's always an event and always an outing. Yeah, I mean, sure, it's always busy, and those kind of tournament things, they really matter. They matter to the life of golf course superintendent. But, you know, I think what it comes down to for most people, if they'd really understand that you're only as good as your last day on the grass, maybe that's the most important thing. Huh? Is that where we should leave things? Maybe that's the last and most important thing. And if I can leave you with something with this episode, is it's only grass, right? No, that's not true. It's grass, and it's amazing. And it brings out the best and the worst in people. But you know what? You're only as good as the conditions that you produced yesterday or today. You can't fall back on what happened 2 weeks ago, 2 years ago, 2 months ago. No, it's got to happen right now. So, with all that, you know, we focused a little bit on staff. We focused a little bit on not trying to be a people pleaser. And I just wanted to kind of lay this out for a little bit of Turfgrass Zealot Project fun. I'm Dave Wilbur. This is the Turfgrass Zealot Project. We're only on TurfNet. And we're sponsored by Clingstone, proven bunker performance for over 15 years. We're thankful for that sponsorship. And I hope that you have a great, great time on your turf, wherever it may lead you, whatever you may do. And now you may resume your life of killing grass. Take care.
The Turfgrass Zealot Project is presented by Clingstone, the original patented liquid applied bunker barrier. Clingstone has been stopping sand contamination, eliminating erosion, and stabilizing bunker faces for over 15 years. Nobody else can say that. For more information, visit clingstone.com. Want to be a guest on the Turfgrass Zealot? Really? Then send an email describing your insane condition to davewilbur@yahoo.com. You've been warned. Thanks for listening to Dave Wilbur, the Turfgrass Zealot and TurfNet Radio. Go to www.turfnet.com for more info. You may resume your life of killing grass.